Hello, everybody. It's Q&A day. So let's do this thing. I've got my special look on today. So if you're watching me live, you get to see. Let me show you. I keep telling Chris, this is my fancy resort wear outfit. Like, y'all know I usually like my leather and stuff, but I ordered this from the Banana Republic. The top's a little big, but it's a little bit of a crop. You can't really see the pants, but they're awesome. The bottom, they like really flare out. I'm like loving this outfit. And I like, you know, y'all know me. I like to change up my looks. All right. Let's see who all is here. Let's get the party started. We're going to do Q&A. I'm going to promote Coach Dina, Coach Betsy. They're both going to come on stage. They'll be working in the Q&A some. I am going to be answering some. Let me get everybody promoted. There we go. Let me change the view to speaker. There we go. And then if y'all have questions, go ahead and put them in the chat. Today, I would really love to answer questions on any remaining things that you have about the scale. So that's one thing I would love to answer questions on today. If you have been following along all month, we did the Conquering the Scale course to give you some freedom over the number so that you can decide how you want to think and feel. And like, I think what's most important is start using that number as a way to encourage you, get curious about what's going on, to reflect, to motivate you. Like, there's a lot of different ways to use the number instead of fearing it, self-loathing, dancing around it, you know, using it to reassure you. I want you to use your behaviors to reassure you, not the number on the scale. So if you didn't learn anything from that course, I just want to say, like, for me, the highlight of that course is you learning how to get on the scale. You may be nervous. You may be there are a thousand different things, but that you now have confidence that you can get on the scale. You can handle any emotion or any thought that comes up automatically. And then when you get off, you consciously decide what to do next. So many of us are getting on the scale and unconsciously doing it, where we get off and it's like, oh my God, my brain said, you know, I should eat tonight. Like, what do I do, Corinne? You talk back to your brain. One of the things that I was talking to another group about yesterday is how when you have those automatic thoughts, that's the invitation for negotiation and discussion from you. Those automatic thoughts are not scary. They're not bad. They're not going to derail you. There's a lot of thinking that you have about your automatic thoughts that are disempowering. Everybody has them too. So don't freak out if you have them. But what I want y'all to really understand and start doing is getting so good at hearing your automatic thoughts and then no longer being afraid of them, no longer giving them the power and the control. Hear them and then say, like, thank you, brain, for the opportunity to decide what we're going to do next. I know what you're offering up. So one of the things about automatic thinking, especially your automatic negative thinking that I want you to think about, this is old shitty. We're just talking about old shitty here, is that old shitty appears for two reasons. The first reason is fear. Something's happening. Old shitty is reacting out of fear. And old shitty needs you to calm him down. The second reason, or the second thing that happens, is old shitty comes up and we just believe him. We're like, oh God, here you are. I guess I'll just do whatever you say. So like, or hang on. I know what I was trying to say. The two reasons why automatic negative thinking comes up. Number one is just fear. Okay. That we want to know. That is your opportunity to go in and say, hey, I get why you're thinking. I want you to think about the four N's that we keep talking about. I notice, old shitty, here you are. And I know why you're here. It's normal. I haven't talked back to you in a long time. I haven't reassured your fears. I understand why you're so afraid. When you were little, you used to have to get on the scale before PE, and then people would make fun of you, whatever your reason is. So you normalize old shitty, and then you say, but the only thing that happened today is that we weighed in this number. And then your next best thought is, and we get to decide what we want to do with this. And he may keep coming back all day long, but he's coming back for a good reason. He's just afraid. The other reason why old shitty appears is because we aren't negotiating. We aren't thinking about like talking to him. We're not giving him the new thing. So if you have recurring old shitty thoughts, it is probably because you're not spending enough time actually thinking the new way, saying like, I get it. You're here. We're, like, that's just not true. Like if let's say the scale only goes down a pound, right? A lot of times y'all will go like, only a pound. I only lost a half a pound. Wah, wah, wah. And so your brain, first thing it says is, it should have been more. You didn't do enough this week. You know, it's probably going to take you fucking forever to lose your weight at this pace. That's old shitty. And if it keeps coming back, one, that can be fear. You can always address that, but it's probably coming back because you often just like, yeah, it's going to take forever. I better knuckle down instead of deciding actively like, no, here's what happens when old shitty appears in that form. We no longer use the word only. I always talk about, it's great that the scale's moving down. I'm going to have to lose X amount of pounds. So every single ounce counts. There will be a day that I won't even remember that I lost 1 pound. There will be a day I won't remember that I lost 0.4 on this day. There's just going to be a day that I'm so glad I kept going. You want to make sure you're steering the conversation. So I like to think about it this way. My old shitties, my automatic negative thinking is there for either fear and protection, which is a good thing. That's where you go in and you're going to be the new, rational, calm, like patient parent in the room. Or I haven't thought consciously enough about who I'm becoming to teach my brain that it no longer needs to send those thoughts up. And that's the important part. It's like, the more you don't get frustrated with your thinking and the more you utilize, capitalize, and use it as an opportunity to be like, all right, another opportunity to truly start thinking like the woman I want to become. Instead of just sitting around, passing out on your fainting couch, needing some smelling salts because old shitty stunk up the room. We don't want to do that anymore. So, conquering the scale, the biggest thing that I think is the benefit of it is such a great opportunity for you to hear all your shitty thoughts, for you to hear everything that could defeat you, but you're going to use it as an opportunity to like, this is the best way I redefine my entire self-concept. This is how I'm going to figure out how to believe in myself like a strong-ass motherfucker. I no longer let the scale decide my self-worth. That's my decision, not the scales. I no longer let the scale decide what kind of day I'm going to have. That's my decision. If I want to have good days, that's my decision to think in ways where I can feel like I go to bed and had a good day. All right. I wanted to say that about conquering the scale. Now, here's the next thing. This week, I hope, where's my piece of paper? Got it all printed. I hope y'all are doing the old Hunger Games. We're doing Hunger Challenge this week. I really want to see lots and lots. I think I held that up upside down, by the way. This, if you're wondering like, oh, Corinne, where did you get that fabulous piece of paper with all these little hunger challenges? It's in Conquering the Scale. If you go, oh, is it next week? I'm sorry. I thought it was this week, y'all. I'm like sitting here thinking that this was happening this way. It is next week. I'm leaving for vacation tomorrow. Again, I'm going for a little quickie jaunt with my husband. My brain is like over here thinking about I need to pack today and what am I going to pack? Next week, I hope to see a lot of y'all doing this. So next week, this delete everything I just said. I want to see a lot of you doing this. So now you don't have to panic. You can go over to Conquering the Scale, finish the course, and then you're going to do our little hunger challenge. It's like the Hunger Games. On the back is a glossary of every single one of them. My team went through and described exactly how all of these work. For all of you who keep saying, Corinne, and just keep dicking around with the same 5 pounds, maybe your hunger or your enoughness is not dialed in, do this. Maybe some of you are like, Corinne, like it just seems so hard to figure out when I'm hungry. There are lots of opportunities to get really hungry on here, not so that you starve, but so that you can find the hunger in a very controlled, experimental way, and so that you can see what your shitty thoughts are if you get really hungry. None of y'all gonna die. I promise you, there is not a no BS woman sitting around right now so close to the brink of starvation that she ain't got some stores on her. We all could go to Survivor Island for 21 days, and I bet you we'd walk out just fine. Like, we have to tell ourselves that. So if you really want to find hunger, one of the best ways is like really wait for some real hunger and do it from an experimental mindset. Experimental mindset is not sitting around going like, well, I'm going to just have to wait for hunger and it's going to suck. And I bet you I overeat and rah, rah, rah. And this is like deprivation. This is what experimental hunger says. Experimental hunger is like, for today, one time, I'm really going to wait for true hunger. And I am going to find that signal. It does not mean that from now until the end of kingdom come that I have to wait for that level of hunger, but I literally want to see what it's like to have some real hunger. And I also want to see what it's like to do it in such a controlled, experimental way that I can calm my fucking brain down when it wants to eat all the things or it wants to offer up the excuse, but you missed a meal, but this happened, and say like, I am just for one day going to find that hunger, then eat the next meal as if I had had a meal. Can I do that one day? That's how we put our scientist hat on about these things. And then there's the enough side. We give you some challenges for the enough side. And let me tell you why we're doing it next week. So for all of you who dick around with the same 5 pounds, and I'm not saying that is like, you know, boo you, but most of us do it at some point because we get into a place where we're like, I have never lost weight and felt this good. And so then we hit a plateau of where what we're doing now is as far as it's going to take us in our weight loss, which means we have to go back to just like it was in the beginning. We're going to be a little scared to do a couple new things and to shake things up. Everybody loves routine. We hate it when habits and routines only take us so far. Trust me. But the version of you that loses her weight is always going to go through rounds of being nervous and needing to try something else, needing to face the lies that your brain will say is like, you're going to have to eat less. Like there's not going to be much left to cut to get all the way down. The biggest mistake many of you make when it comes to weight loss is thinking that what you need to cut, like to readjust your hunger, to readjust your enoughness, as if there's going to be one day you're going to be eating like a piece of chicken the size of this cap of a water bottle. That's all I'm going to get. That is not what's going to happen. You're always going to make slow tweaks. You're going to be afraid it's not going to be enough food. You're going to do it and then realize like, oh, it is enough. I just now have to quit being afraid it's not so that I can enjoy what I'm actually eating. You can't enjoy your meal if all you're doing is sitting there thinking the entire time, this won't be enough. I'm going to get hungry. This is terrible. You drop all that and you think like, it's great. I'm eating what I want. I'm going to figure this out. If I don't like this level of hunger, I don't even have to do it. I can just consciously stay at this weight for a little while until I am ready. I have choices. I have agency. I have authority over this. Nothing is being done to me and nothing's being taken away from me. That's how we calm our irrational brains down. That's how we make progress. So do your Hunger Games next week. I think they're calling it a hunger challenge. I love the idea that it's called the Hunger Games. I don't know. I'm sure my team is going to be like, oh my God, don't make us change everything. Don't get confused. Hunger Challenge, Hunger Games, same thing. Kryn just likes the title Hunger Games. All right. So you're doing that next week for a very good reason. Because tons of you asked, please create a program for stalls and plateaus. And I was like, for a while, I was like, no, you don't get one. You know what you get? Your thoughts. Like, you examine your thoughts, you figure it out, right? Then I got to really thinking about it. I was like, all right, if lots of people are having problems with stalls and plateaus, like, there must be something to it. So I spent a few months reading all, every time somebody posted about a stall and plateau, I'm like, what are they thinking? What's getting their way? As we started bringing people on more often to get coached on it. So I could be like, well, what's really happening here? Like, what's really stopping people? And I figured it out. Because I like figuring out shit. I don't know why I love figuring out y'all's brains. I love figuring out how to help y'all lose the weight. But I think I did. So next month is stalls and plateau month. Now, you do not need to be on a stall or plateau to take this course. Everyone should take it, because the one thing that I realized, because I looked back at my own journey and stuff, is everybody's going to hit them. I did some scientific research. Like, I actually went and read some fucking science stuff about the body. Y'all know me. I'm like, kind of like, I don't know about science, but I did read. There's these things called homeostasis. There's all these different factors that go into why stalls and plateaus actually are a very good reason why they're happening in your weight loss. So this whole next month is about understanding why they happen and the difference between when your body is adjusting and we need to adjust your attitude around it, and when you're in diet denial. When you say you're doing all the things, but you're not testing, you're not experimenting, or you'll say, I'm doing all the things. Like, I make a plan every day. I mean, I follow it, like, you know, every day but Saturday and Sunday, but I make a plan every day. Why is my weight not coming down? So I help you identify diet denial and where to go back and look at your data, not the scale data, to look at your habit tracker data. So here's how you're going to get ready for it. If you go to the stalls and plateaus page that's coming out on the 25th, I don't even think today's the 25th. It is the 25th. Never mind. Kryn, you can tell I'm going sans notes today. I'm just like going with the passions today. I want you to take a look at it. I want you to finish conquering the scale. And then next week, I want you to do your hunger challenge. And then there are four Basics 2.0 videos that we are kind of giving you as like to prepare, to be ready. I want you to watch them. Let me find it real quick, because it's actually really good. For those of you who haven't seen it yet, you need to go to the website. Hang on. That's the summer reset, which I'm going to talk about in just a second. Let me find it. I just had this motherfucker up naturally. Let me go to monthly course. I would like to give a shout out to Yasmin, who actually, I'll tell you what, those videos are not, they're on the summer reset course. I'll talk about that in a minute. So this week, your job is to finish conquering the scale. Own that scale. Next week is the hunger challenge. And then we're also ending that week with the summer reset workshop, where I'm going to teach you about protocols for things like you're traveling. We're going to have protocols for kids being home. We're going to have protocols for all kinds of unique situations that come up during the summer. I know a lot of you go boating in the summer. A lot of you go barbecuing. A lot of you go to different things, pool parties with kids, all kinds of stuff. We want to create protocols around those. So we're going to do a really deep dive on that. We are also going to reset your ideal days. So we're going to do a lot of work next week to prepare for the summer reset. Next week, you also can go through those basics 2.0 classes. So if you will, let me go to the summer research set page. Go to the, like it's in the middle. You're going to do basics 2.0, finding your focus, how to stop making hunger a problem, what enough is and what it ain't, and then restriction versus level ups. Everything is on your summer reset page. Everything that you're going to need for the workshop. It's June 4th, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central Time. It is included in your membership. Either attend live or make an appointment now. Like, get your calendar out while you're listening to this. Figure out, when am I going to watch the replay? When am I going to take the time to make sure that I have a doable goal for the summer, that I've anticipated my obstacles instead of sitting around worrying about them? The whole summer reset is to not let you go into the summer thinking this is going to be hard. Like, oh my God, look at all that's happening this summer. Like, I ain't traveled in forever. I'm a teacher. Now I'm out and I don't have a routine, or now I'm a teacher and I'm going to be all over working out, whatever it is. We're giving y'all this so that you can go through your summer like a fucking boss ass nobius woman. Then we're starting for the rest of June is your stalls and plateaus stuff. And stalls and plateaus is for everyone to normalize them when they happen. But also, what is a better way to kick off summer than to really focus on what you can do about your weight loss, to get it moving again, to identify things? So that is going to carry us through. We're finishing the scale. Hunger challenge next week. So we're dialed in. We give you supported videos for you to watch next week from Basics 2.0 to help you really figure it out. Kick off the summer with me for a full day on Saturday, 9 to 1 p.m. Central Time. And then we're going to rock and roll with stalls and plateaus for the next month. I think it's going to be one of those game changer courses for all of you. All right. If that doesn't help you lose weight, I don't know what the fuck can at this point. So let's go. Do we have questions? Yes, we do. I've been eating to maintenance since losing my sister in January. I want to start losing weight and not being afraid to fail. I've been over shopping instead of overeating. Question, not sure, but I guess. How can I get moving again and not get eaten up by pain? Keeping my 70 pounds off, but not losing. That's a lot, Joe. There's several things in here. One of the things is, I'm not sure if you joined us for Don't Stop Believing. Anyone can join us at any time. Even though the race is in about 5 weeks, one of the things that's great about Don't Stop Believing is it's not just about the event, like for moving 1 hour, 2 hours, or 3 hours. I brought in a pain movement specialist, Susie Hatley, who has been working in the group. She is helping all of our ladies who are dealing with pain and how to not be afraid of pain, but how to read the signals of what it's telling you, things that it could be indicating, all kinds of stuff. She taught a class. If somebody will link me, can you put in the chat the name of the class? That would be awesome. She's been inside of that group, like literally changing a lot of people's outlook on their body. So one thing, lots of people are saying, Susie's information has been so helpful. From pain to possibility was her class that she taught us. And then she's in there answering questions. She decided to stick around with us for the entire Don't Stop Believing training. And so she's been in there answering questions in Facebook alongside my best friend, Jane, who is also leading the technical side of it. So that's an option. You could sign up for the virtual. You'll get access to all of that. You'll get access to all of her trainings and all of her materials. I will say, later in the year, like way off into the fall and stuff, we probably will take a lot of the content that we have done for DSB. It is such really good content in terms of creating the possibility for you to add movement into your life. We're probably going to repackage it at some point, give it to all of the members, but it won't be the full-blown experience like our Don't Stop Believing people are getting. But I do I just feel like movement is so important for women. All of you know my story. I don't think you need to lose. I don't think you need to exercise to lose weight at all. Weight loss is always going to be the exercise of how often you're doing reps from the fork to the mouth. That's literally like the most important thing we can work on is the relationship we have with the food, not with exercise and stuff. Now, where I do think exercise benefits all of us is even when you have physical pain, there are movements that we need to do that like regenerate the blood flow to those painful areas. There's a, finding the thing that you love to do. There is, for women especially, we lose so much of our muscle mass. I have watched so many women in my family break hips, die prematurely. My only living grandmother right now, she has fell like 3 or 4 times. And every time she falls, she really hurts herself because she's never been one to strength train. And I don't mean you got to go into the gym and lift weights like a dude like I do, but basic strength training and stuff helps us have an amazing quality of life. Adding in things like yoga can not only strengthen your body, strengthen your mind, strengthen your lungs, but it also gives you flexibility so that if you ever, one of the things my mom is doing right now is, you know, she's very active in the summer in her pool because she can't go out for walks. There's a lot of things my mom can't do because of her physical limitations. She can't get in that pool. And one of the things that like, that I want her doing is stretching a lot in the pool and getting that limberness back. You never know when you're going to fall. No one's going to be there to help you up. And you're not going to be close enough to a chair. That's happened to my own mother a couple times where she did not know if she was going to be able to get off the ground. I think of movement for all of us, especially because, you know, one of the biggest percentages of our membership is my ladies in their 60s and 70s. Y'all are like, I love all of you. And the last thing I want is an email. And, you know, it's hard. We have lost members. I have, you know, this last year, like, you know, we've had women have strokes and different things. I don't want an email from somebody one day that you fell and you couldn't get up. And that's why when we're done with DSB and we have time to repackage it in a way that it's accessible for everyone. It's not just, you know, about a race and stuff. I want to be able to give y'all this gift. Movement's the best gift I gave myself. It trumps the weight loss, hands down. You know, there's nothing I love more than like for my own sanity. I can go out and I can walk for 90 minutes on the days that like I just need to get away from everything. There were, when Logan was little and I was in postpartum, I couldn't give myself that gift. I just laid on the couch. I couldn't go out and walk for more than 15 minutes without everything being excruciatingly painful. And I just think that movement is such a, it's a bigger thing than weight loss. And we bastardize it when we make it all about getting in shape. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But for the majority of you, you're never going to want to like do races and, you know, go to the gym and lift weights and look at your muscles and, you know, like I like to do. But we need quality of life. And I get most concerned about us when we are not thinking about what our lives are going to be like in our 80s. You know, I plan to live until, it's a running joke between me and Jane. I picked 90. I want to be 92 years old and she wants to be 93. And I'm like, I don't want to be on a scooter or a walker. I've seen my mom do it already. Thank God my mother has changed her ways, but that's not the life I want. I've seen how painful it is for her. And so for all of you who are listening to this, who you already may be on a scooter and you already may be on a walker and stuff, it's never too late to start moving your body. I think about one of my favorite clients, Jill R. many of you know her. She's a diabetes coach. She does all kinds of things. She's been a member of ours for a long time, lost a lot of weight. And when she first started working with us, she was in a wheelchair. She had so many physical problems. And she reached out to me and said, I want to add movement, but I need to tell you what my current limitations are, but I don't want it to mean I can't do anything. And she started with chair yoga as she worked on herself and she worked on her weight. It is literally never too late. If you don't know who I'm talking about, go look her up in the Facebook group, Jill Rosenau, an amazing woman. She touches my heart all the time, and she's out there trying to change the lives of other people. So I know that was a long answer to your question. Let's see, Pam, next best thought or action when you feel that you are just lucky when the scale goes down. I could never figure out why I lost weight some weeks and gained others when I was on Weight Watchers. So I know my brain thinks it's a mystery. I'm looking at data and do goal information, but this thought that it's just based on luck and it's really not what I'm doing is very loud. Yeah, that thought's just loud because you've thought it so many times. So don't get too concerned that it's coming back. The best way, it's kind of like what I was talking about in the beginning. The best way for you to get that thought calmed down and erased eventually is by doing exactly what you're doing, saying like, it's not luck, it's in the data. And you go look at it. And if you like, literally no one gets lucky. If you lose weight, there was a reason. Now, sometimes it could be you're just simply dehydrated. Like here's a good example. The day after I go drinking, like if I go out with Chris, the day after, I'm usually down 2 pounds. That has nothing to, like, I'm not like, oh, wow, I just want to repeat that drinking habit of mine. Like, I want to look at it and be like, oh, I can see I'm dehydrated from alcohol. I probably didn't drink enough water. I'm down 2 pounds. Like, that's being down 2 pounds. I don't want to get overly excited about. Like, it makes sense. So that when it goes back up, I'm not overly frustrated either. I'm like, oh, it makes sense. I'm rehydrated, whatever. My body has, the sponge has filled back up with its water. But you want to always just like tell that thought, it's never luck. There was always something. And then you just take your best guesses. You just look. Most of the problem I think you're running into, Pam, is you want to be absolutely certain you know why it's going down. Because if you're absolutely certain, then you can believe you're losing weight. Here's what I would do. I would skip the part where you need to be absolutely certain that you're right and be certain that you're doing things and that you're never quitting. Create your certainty there, and then you can believe that you're going to lose your weight. Don't put certainty into the wrong things, y'all. Let's see. What are your thoughts of having food addiction? I'm in a 12-step program and not sure how to navigate this with the NoBS program. My thoughts are saying I won't be able to overcome this issue. I have an addiction. It's not that I don't believe addiction to food is a real thing. So I want you to hear me very carefully when I say this. We can find the truth in anything. Okay. And sometimes it's just like, let's say you got diagnosed with cancer. It would not be helpful for you to every day. Like if a doctor said, you've been diagnosed with cancer, chances are you're not going to live. Well, you don't, just because a doctor said that, now you have a fact, it doesn't make it useful. Do you want to spend that time taking, like, I have a cancer diagnosis. The best use of my time is taking exquisite care of myself, believing that I can overcome it, and living the best life every single day. That's more useful. So like when it comes to food addiction, it's like, all right, good. Like good for me to understand that food is something that I am going to work on because it's important to me. That would be something that would be way more useful for you to think about than like, well, I'm in a 12-step program where it's food addiction. It's really hard to believe that I'm ever going to be able to get rid of it. This is the thing. You may never get rid of food addiction. But can you get rid of the part of you that thinks it's such a big deal that you can't have a life also? Can you embrace the part of you that's like, maybe I will be the one that overcomes it? Who knows? Maybe I will be able to live with it, but in a way where I still can have my dreams and goals. It's just like when people are like alcoholics. Lots of people go on after being an alcoholic to have really amazing lives. But they, you know, is it beneficial for them to always say like, you know me, I'm all addicted to the alcohol? Or is it better for them to think like, you know me, I'm sober. I'm the person who will always work on being sober. I am the person who will always want to be more sober than I'll ever want to go back to that. It's thinking about what's useful for you to think about. And that's how I like to think about, even when we have like a fact that feels so real, just because it's real doesn't mean that there's another way to discuss it with yourself that opens the door up to who you want to be. Kara, do you think hormones or lack of affect weight loss in menopause, such as increased cortisol, decreased estrogen? So many women I know take hormone replacement therapy and have success with weight loss. We're going back to usefulness. I am not a doctor, number one. I am in the perimenopause. So I'm in the pre-stages. I take a testosterone pellet in my ass. I get one every 3 months because my energy levels tank if I don't have it. And my sex drive goes to the absolute toilet, beneath the toilet. I'm in the sewer system. Let's put it that way. And I'm just going to tell you, I get my T pellet. And of course, I've lost no weight, but I mean, like, I haven't noticed any of that. But I also didn't expect to, because I already pay attention to how I eat. I already do those things. But what I have noticed is increased energy, increased focus. So I do believe hormones are at play when we are in perimenopause and menopause and stuff. But here's what I notice with most menopausal women. They get a pill and they do start feeling better and stuff. And they either continue to have overeating habits and don't lose weight, or they change their thoughts about food because now they have a pill. I've never seen a pill make women lose weight. What I've seen is that they get a pill and they exercise new thoughts. So now I'm on a pill. It will be easier to say no to this. Now I'm on a pill. I bet this is working in my hormones and blah, 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 blah. And now I'm no longer stress eating. I think when it comes to menopause, if you want to spend your time, like now, go see your doctor. If you want to do hormone replacement therapy for all kinds of things, that's great. But before you go, just remember, if you're still overeating because of menopause, it's not because of the hormones. It's because you're thinking about menopause and how hard it is. And then it's really easy to grab ass food. It's really easy to just go out for drinks because, like, well, I'm not going to lose any weight anyway because I'm in menopause. There's a, like, get all of that unintended eating cleaned up first. See if that solves things. Because what I don't want you to do is take a pill. And then one day, maybe you don't need to be on the pill anymore. Or maybe one day you acclimate to the pill. Then your emotional habits just come back. And I also see that happen. So some women will lose some weight taking some like hormonal pills and different things like that. Their thoughts will change for a little while. It's no different than how many of you join the program, super excited, all the way motivated because it's new and shiny. So your thoughts about weight loss change. You go from thinking, I can't lose weight, to like, I'm giving this a try. She makes sense. I bet this will be easier than what I did last time. Then you do it for a little while and you get acclimated. All of the enthusiasm thoughts and everything, they all go away because they're supposed to. But then you're left with your regular thinking, which is like, yeah, here I am. I made a mistake. See, it's probably like all the other diets. It was too good to be true. Or you just get bored and your brain goes to like, is this all we're going to do? Like make a 24-hour plan every day? And like, I'm going to actually wait until I'm hungry and stop it enough? And then your brain is like, yeah, there's probably way more to it. Go Google something, start reading articles. You know, it's supposed to be complicated. She's made it too easy. So now you start complicating it to match the thinking. So what we want to always do is clean up the thinking first. Now, and I only say that because I'm not discouraging my menopause ladies to do your HRT or to do anything like that. I promise you, when I hit it, if I'm going to, I'm the kind of person who is like, if I need something to help me, I'm all in. Just like with depression meds and stuff. When I get to points where like Corinne's thought work can't catch up with it, I want those meds so that it can help calm some of my chemicals in my brain down so that I can be opened back up to my thought work. There is no shame in the game of getting help, y'all, whether that's therapy, psychiatry, if you need a pill, whatever it may be. I'm like, why are women so ashamed of getting help? I just never understand this. It just baffles me. We should not be ashamed of taking care of ourselves. We should not be ashamed of advocating for ourselves. We should not be ashamed of getting what we need in order to have the quality of life we deserve. So think about, like, when it comes to menopause, do I have grab asses? Do I have overeating still? Am I making my plans? Am I following my plans? Am I paying attention to the food that I'm putting in my body? Am I eating because it tastes so good, or because letting it like taste good, but give me heartburn or give me diarrhea or side effects? Or am I starting to eat things because I want my life to feel so good? I want my body to feel so good that now trumps the taste sometimes. I'm going to learn to love other things for new reasons. There's just so many different ways that we can look at these things, y'all. All right. Does anybody else have questions? Y'all are quiet today. I'm like, what is even happening? Well, we don't. So let me give you an update on what's happening. On Sunday, you have a very special weight loss call. It is with the one and only Kathy Hartman. We keep getting messages like, we want more Kathy. We want more Kathy. Kathy now is the leader of the community team. She's been doing that for a while for us. Plus, she does a little bit of high performance coaching just for our internal team. She has been doing more calls lately. She's been doing some of the 55 plus calls. We've been letting the beast back out a little bit. She's coming this Sunday. She is coming this Sunday for two reasons. One, y'all always want more Kathy, so we're going to give it to you. Number two, I'm going to be in Vegas, and I have been working from Vegas every trip this year, but I promised Chris we'd have one Sunday that we could sleep in, and I did not have to wake him up so that he could set up my laptop, get everything arranged, get my mics right. So the king is getting this Sunday off, and Kathy will be filling in for me, and I know you guys will love it. So for some of you who are always nervous about getting coached because you're worried about getting coached with me, word on the street is that y'all like to use Kathy as an appetizer before getting into, Corinne's up your butt coaching. Feel free when the notice comes out to sign up for coaching this Sunday. And y'all, as many of you can, attend, give her some love. All right, let's see. Last questions. Can you talk about the scale during maintenance? Actually, Vivian, we'll be doing that in July. July is the entire maintenance program. We will cover it in maintenance, but it's literally the same stuff. You got to get on the scale and you got to no longer be waiting for it to go down. A lot of us get addicted to that. You've got to get your dopamine from it being boring now. You got to get your excitement from just staying in your range. The other thing about maintenance that's a little bit different when it comes to weighing in is you have to use it as a way to, like, if the scale goes back up a little, to tweak what you're doing instead of freaking the fuck out. One of the things that the scale will do for you in maintenance is, and this is one of the things that we're going to talk about maintenance. We were actually going through the content yesterday, is when you start your maintenance journey, you are now recreating a whole new identity. You have been in the beginning of your weight loss journey. You started as the person who didn't know if they could do it, who thought, I can't lose weight, or it's going to be hard for me, or I've never been able to. I'm going to give this a try. So there's the version of you that starts. You go through your weight loss journey and you become someone who believes they can lose weight. You start off doubting. Then you start getting more and more confident. You get on a roll and then you start thinking like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. But you're really more in the identity of the, like, I can lose weight. When you hit maintenance, we start all over again with rebuilding your self-concept. You have to no longer believe you are someone who can lose weight. You've already fulfilled that one. You can't keep dieter mindset. Now we have to become the version of us that believes we're like, I no longer ever lose weight again. Maintenance mindset is about rebuilding your self-concept as someone who is like done with dieting. I am finished. And it's starting over with that very first day in maintenance, believing that you can be someone that keeps their weight off. And then you'll have doubts and you'll have your fears and you'll have just like it was in the very beginning of weight loss. Here's what we're going to teach you in maintenance course. You proved yourself wrong. So anything that you're thinking in maintenance, you have evidence that it's probably not true, that it's just automatic thinking. It is just fear. And you already have evidence that you can be scared and doubting and fearful and be very wrong, and that you can become someone else. So the whole premise of the maintenance course is going to be a lot of things we're going to talk about. You know, what is the difference in the eating? Like, what habits do you want to keep? What habits do you not? Why? We're going to just, it's a lot of mindset. It's not a lot of like you do things differently. Maintenance is a mindset, and it's all going to be about going from the person who is afraid they can't keep it off and afraid to let their foot off the gas and afraid for all these things, finding all of that and becoming the person who says, oh my gosh, I'm never dieting again. That version of me is dead now. And that we have to learn how to do. And that takes time. That's why I say, like in no BS, majority of you are going to be here a year or more. Even if you only have 20 pounds to lose, you got 20 pounds of maintenance weight to lose after. It is a journey, y'all. I am not teaching you just how to quickly get your weight off and then throwing you out to the wolves. We're really teaching you how to become the person who never diets again. All right. Is there a podcast on fear of missing out when writing your plan? Yep. If you will go to, actually, if you can put it in the chat, I believe Basics 2.0 has stuff on that. I know we have done FOMO calls before. If my team will just look for the FOMO calls and post those in the chat, that would be great. Also, we will be covering a lot of fear of missing out during the summer workshop. That's going to be one of the things we'll talk about in protocols. If we only eat half at dinner and get hungry 2 hours and decide to have more, is this considered still on plan? I think so. I think that's called experimenting and figuring out like, all right, when I eat half, that only gets me about 2 hours. I'd like for my food to get me to the 3 to 4 hour mark at least. So you just eat a little bit more. I would eat half of whatever you left behind. Can you help with accountability partner group dynamics? As a partner, sometimes I fall back to my own habit of sympathizing, empathizing, and giving up. I don't want to scold, but I want to assist my partner as she works through issues. Can you post this inside of Ask Coaches and let them give you some guidance? And this is also for my team. Will you please forward that comment to Kathy? One of the things that we're working on is really beefing up the accountability program. We want to teach y'all how to be accountable to each other. Like how to really run your group, not just showing up for it, but what to say to each other and what not to say, those kinds of things. We're really going to be looking at helping y'all make the most out of your time together. And so basically, your brain has set it up this way. I'm either empathize. I'm either like justifying and empathizing right along with her, or like I got to scold her. What is the middle? And we all do this. As humans, we're very binary. We like yes and no's, black and white. We love that. Often watch when y'all are setting yourselves up for two shitty ass situations. And this is what I call setting yourself up for the no-win situation. I'm either an asshole or I'm not helping her at all. So where is your middle? Like in the middle is like listening and then just questioning. Very often, I tell my friend Jane, because like when I'm like, when she's saying something, I will just point out a thought and just like, hey, I don't know if you even realized you said this, but this would be really great for you to take to ask coaches. I bet they have a unique perspective on this. You know, for a lot of you, you don't need to coach them. You have us. Your job as an accountability partner, though, when you see something, is to say like, this would be great to take to ask coaches. Have you thought about posting this in the Facebook group? Or maybe they're not coming to say like, hey, do you care if I post this in the Facebook group and say, I'm working with my accountability partner on this. How would successful accountability groups help her? Those are great ways, because when you think about where's the middle is like, I'm not scolding. I'm not justifying. I'm not just jumping in with her and be like, yeah, that's a load of shit. I'm in the middle as the person who is like, I think there might be another way for you to look at this. So let's go and see how we can do that. And then use the tools we have, like put the weight of it on us. That would be my best advice. How do you figure out your thoughts? I feel like I don't have much for bad thoughts, but I must. You don't have to, Holly. Like, y'all, don't get me wrong. Like, a lot of us have old shitties. A lot of our old shitties come out in little ways. If you will go and take Thoughts 2.0 now, I think that that's the course that will really help you, because we dive a little deeper into how to listen for old shitty thoughts. And we have, I believe we have a video in there where we talk about like a day in the life of what an old shitty can look like. Very often we don't, like a lot of times, like for y'all, you don't have dumpster fire. Like this is where we get into black and white thinking. I either have good thoughts or bad thoughts. No, we have a lot of in the middle thoughts. And a lot of times in the middle thoughts are like, maybe you, are missing out on opportunities to really celebrate yourself. You're like, oh, that wasn't a big deal. Like if somebody compliments you, do you say like, thank you? Like, I really appreciate that. I have been working so hard. It's nice to be recognized. Or do you be like, oh, that's not a big deal. Like, thanks, but you know, I'm still working. Like that's an old shitty. That is a thought to work on. You want to think about, huh? Why would I not just turn the volume up on my greatness? What do I think about doing things like that? And for some of you who don't have a lot of dumpster fire type thoughts, think about like, if I was to live for two straight days, walking around telling everybody everything that's right about me, what would my thoughts about that be? A lot of times you'll uncover some hidden agenda thoughts that you have about like, ooh, that would be bragging. Oh, that would make people feel bad. Like you would have those kinds of things. Then you can be like, oh, so where in my life maybe am I turning down like the volume of myself in front of others or even to me? Because I don't want to hurt people's feelings. Women do this all the time. We go through life wondering why we all sit around and have kumbayas about like mediocre things, and why guys, they get together and it's like a sausage fest of high fives, fist pumps, and yeah, bro, you're great. Like they sit around and do that and nobody's thinking they're bragging. They're all like, yeah. And they're all like, can you top this? Women rarely do this. Usually women are sitting around, you know, wringing our hands and talking about just our day-to-day lives, and we don't want to live too loud. And if we notice our friends are over here, like, you know, bitching and moaning, we create fake shit to talk about. I have been guilty of this so many times, and I finally made a pact with myself. I would never do that again. And I had to end a friendship over it because her marriage wasn't great. And when we were together, I would find myself wanting to find problems in my marriage to talk about so she wouldn't feel bad. And then one day I just decided, it was like, that, first of all, is like a shitty way for me to think about my marriage. Number two, I am not role modeling to her that there are different, like, there are good marriages. And her, my marriages were all toilet. Nobody gets along. She needed to see the contrast. Now, what ended up happening, though, is because I didn't want to go through every single luncheon talking about, like, having to create fake-ass drama to share. It got hard for her. Now, I wasn't in there bragging and, like, saying, like, guess what? I'm better than you. But when I, you know, would just, like, when she was like, you know, well, how are things going with you? And I'm like, oh, they're really good. You know, like Chris and I, we, you know, we're still doing that date night every week. And, you know, we enjoy each other's company and stuff. Like, I was never doing it in a way that makes someone feel bad, but she couldn't be around me anymore. And it was getting very apparent. And I finally had to end the relationship. We just outgrown each other. I had outgrown her emotionally. I didn't want to play in the sandbox of being with women who refused to acknowledge success, what they do right, to be proud of themselves, and to take ownership of their life. I didn't want to be around people who were blaming other things for why they felt or why they were limited and stuff. That's just my choice. I know a lot of you aren't in that place, but the reason why I say all this is because I think for those of us who are in a place where we are proud, where, you know, we've turned the page in our book. We've moved away from needing other people to fix us. We've learned how to fix ourselves. We've learned how to, like, celebrate ourselves. We've learned to stop fixing ourselves and start building ourselves. I feel like we owe it to womanhood to put it on display so that it gets normalized. Unfortunately, I think what happens with women and what's normalized is we don't want to show our greatness for fear that somebody else might feel bad. And that is something women have got to get over. We're all going to stay in that terrible cycle if we don't start doing something different. How long does your weight remain the same with good data before you determine you're in a stall? Jania, perfect question. You will find that out in the Stalls and Plateaus course. I answer that in the Stalls and Plateaus. It will teach you the difference between diet denial and going through and looking at data. You will find your answer there. So if you really want the answer and you're just like a little gung-ho, you can always go watch the videos now. They are up on the website if you want to. We will be focusing on it the entire month of June, though. You're going to notice a lot of the coaching and a lot of the calls and stuff will all be around Stalls and Plateaus. All right, y'all have an amazing rest of your week. I will see y'all next Wednesday. I probably, if I know me, will be in the Facebook group because I don't like to be away from y'all very long. And I might also drop another little surprise video. I did one on Monday. I forgot to give it to my assistant. She's getting it today. So if you were in the Facebook group, I dropped a video in there because I was thinking about y'all on Monday about just like when you're noticing things and what to do with noticing things. But if you want to get into the Facebook group, maybe you're new and you haven't requested access, you can request access. We will be putting it into video replays and we will put it into the Private Member Podcast. I only drop videos in Facebook, number one, that are definitely going to go into the website and into the Private Member Podcast. But I do it every now and then because sometimes there's just things I want to tell y'all. It doesn't really fit anywhere. And I'd rather give y'all information than to like wait 6 months before I talk about it. I just feel like sometimes I just want to help y'all like where I'm at in the moment, thinking about what y'all's problems are. The other thing is for the Facebook group and accountability groups. We know that the success rate of our members is higher when they are in an accountability group and when they're in the Facebook group. I know a lot of you who are listening to this, we have a large percentage of members who don't join the Facebook group. If you already have a Facebook account, you might as well. It is not like other groups. We don't tolerate bullshit in there. We're empowering. There's lots of great conversations with the members that are happening there. Whether you never post or not, it is a wealth of information on learning what's working for other people. When people are struggling, there's a lot of feedback on things that they can do. And there's also a lot of success being shared over there. Use that as a way to not beat yourself up, but to look at it and be like, oh my God, every person that joined had unique struggles. And this is one more instance where someone who thought they couldn't lose weight lost weight, which is probably you. So join them. If you want to join Facebook, if you go to nobswomen.com, look under the community. I'll tell you exactly where it is. There's on the drop down menu. So if you're on your phone, there'll be three little lines. Pop that line. There'll be a menu that drops. It'll say Facebook Accountability and Meetups Calendar. Go to Facebook and you will not only be able to join the main Facebook group, but you'll see all of our subgroups also. We have lots of subgroups for y'all. And if you want an accountability group, we match you to people. So if you request one, we will set you up. You can set them up yourself if you want, but we do it for you so that you don't have to do the legwork if you don't want to. It's one of the things that I think is important in NoBS. Go to the website. It's in that Facebook Accountability and Meetups Calendar. It's in that same area. Go to Accountability. We will get you matched up. We will also give you like how to structure your group and stuff. Give it 30 days. If you don't like your group, if people flake out, if it's just not what you thought and you want to try again, please don't give up on accountability just because the first time it doesn't work. Ask for a new group. Don't make it mean something's wrong with you. Make it mean that you're very determined to find your people who can help you get your weight off. So ask as many times as you need. There is no cap on asking for accountability groups. We will match you as many times as we need to make sure that you find someone. All right. Y'all have a great week. See you later. Bye, y'all.